We are honored to have with us Brother Stacy Ferguson.
If you will, open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 32. We're going to take our 3 points for our lesson this morning from these verses in chapter 32. Just a expository lesson, taking some things that we can see from the people of Israel and making some spiritual application for us. And as we begin, I want to, this may not be a normal way of beginning a sermon, but I'm going to read an obituary. If you could listen to this as I read this. It says, "The church was saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our most valued members, someone else. Someone's passing creates a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Else has been with us for many years, and for every one of those years, someone did far more than a normal person's share of work. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's list. Let someone else do it. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with that group. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the most liberal givers in our church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone just assumed someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman. Were the truth known, everybody expected too much of someone else. Now someone else is gone. We wonder, what are we going to do? Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who's going to follow it? Who's going to do the things someone else did? When you are asked to help, remember, we can't depend on someone else anymore." I think of that. I don't know where that, well, I do know where that came from, but I was thinking of that, and when you read that, you get the point. Sometimes we'll think in our mind, well, yeah, somebody else will do that. Somebody else will pick that up off the floor. Somebody else will turn off the light. Things like that. And as I think of that, and as we think of that supposedly obituary, but it's we know that it's something that's made up, it helps us to think about us being involved. Now, I want us to think about this morning, personal involvement. For me personally, to look at myself and looking and seeing, am I involved in the Lord's work? In what the Lord would have me to do in Bible class and worship and going out and studying with others. Many things as we think about, at least what we're able to do, those things, sometimes physically, we may be limited in those ways. But as we have those abilities to go out and to try to develop those abilities to be involved in the Lord's work. And I want to take our text here in Numbers chapter 32, and I want us to look at the first 5 verses. And when I think about this idea of not relying upon someone else and us being involved, I think of the title for our lesson, "Are You Active Duty?" And I take that from a military idea because that's what's happening here in Numbers chapter 32. They are about to go to war, to go over the Jordan River, take the promised land. And when I think of the military, you have the active duty, those who are working, those who are actively involved, serving. You have those that are called reserve duty, who were once active but are now on call. And those two military ideas. And as we'll go through the lesson, we'll see spiritually, we are in a war spiritually. So either we're active duty, and that's what God wants us to be, requires of us. We can't be reserve duty. As I was preparing for this lesson, I came across another term. It's not a military term, but it's a term that is used, weekend warrior. Spiritually, we can't be weekend warriors. And by that I mean, we can't just come to Bible class or worship on the weekend, Sunday, and then not do anything else for the Lord the rest of the week. Because being a Christian means that we're going to be involved always, 24 hours a day. So as we think about that, and for us to think of ourselves, am I active duty or am I reserve duty? Am I really involved in the Lord's work? And we're going to look at some things, how we can be involved. But in Numbers chapter 32, if you look at verse number 1, we're not going to read all these verses, but please If you have a Bible, look there in your Bible, because I hope it will help you to see the points that we can learn from Israel. In verse number 1, you have the children of Reuben, the children of Gad. They have a great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. What you have to think about in this context, they are on the east side of the Jordan River. And they, Joshua, Moses is going to die, but Joshua is going to take them across the Jordan River. They're going to go in and conquer that land. But when they have come up on the east side, these two tribes, and if you keep reading, there's also the half tribe of Manasseh. So 2.5 tribes. They see this land that's on this side of the river, and they see, if you look at verse 1, they saw it was a land that was good for cattle. And if you come down to verse number 4, they go to Moses and they tell Moses, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and your servants have cattle. Therefore they said, if we have found grace in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. So they see this land, it's got what we need. We have cattle. It's a land for cattle. We want to stay here. We don't want to go across the Jordan River. We want to have our inheritance on this side. And when I think of active duty, and I think of the first point for us to consider is, here in these first 5 verses, I see self-interest. What hinders active duty? What hinders people from being involved? Because they wanted to stay on this side. They didn't want to go with the rest. And I see this as their self-interest. They see this land. Oh yes, it's a good land. We have cattle. And we want to stay here because this has what we need. I think about that for us. Spiritually, it could be that way. We are Christians. We have salvation. Spiritually, we think about that. Well, I have what I need. And we can have that self-interest and not be concerned about other people. And that's what they were doing. We think even just of physical things, because we see a lot of things around us. And they saw this land. We can see houses and cars, and there's the computers and iPads and iPhones and all these Androids, all these things that we can see. Things that can consume our time. We can have that self-interest in those things, even to the point where we will neglect spiritual things. So we have to think about, am I interested, have that self-interest, things that I'm concerned about, and is that hindering me from being active duty? It might be, just for an example, maybe someone doesn't come to Bible class on Sunday morning because of their self-interest. They stayed up too late on Saturday evening and slept in. And we have to look at that for us to consider those things. And the people here, they see this, and that's what they want. I think about babies. Babies are self-interest. They think about themselves. We had a niece of ours that was going with us maybe about 3 weeks ago, and had her in the vehicle. She had a toy, and she's just a baby in the car seat. And so she has the toy. It drops out of the car seat, and I was just wondering, how long is it going to be before I hear a noise? And it was about 20 seconds, and then, because she didn't have what she wanted. Or maybe, want something to eat, want something to eat. Or diaper needs to be changed, it's that self-interest that babies have. But we have to be careful as adults that we don't have that same mindset and that same attitude. I think about maybe somebody not serving as an elder or as a deacon. I know the church at Forest Park have tried to work with men to prepare them and for them to serve as elders, but some of them don't have that interest. They don't want to give the time. They don't want to make the sacrifice. But the Lord's church needs people that will make those sacrifices. Maybe serving as a deacon. Maybe somebody to teach a Bible class. Might need someone to teach a Bible class. And us trying to think of, how can I help? And not thinking of myself, those things that might hinder me. Kathy and I, we were counseling with a couple not long ago. And the problems that they were having, as we were talking to them, you know what it was? I this and then he that, the man and the woman, it was that self-interest. When you have problems in marriage, usually it's because of some people being selfish, either both or one of them being selfish. And we have to always try to guard against it. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25. Whoever will save his life will lose it. It's that idea of the self-interest. But whoever will lose his life, he says, for my sake, the same shall find it. And we have to think of that, giving our life over to the Lord. Not what I want. It isn't about me, myself, and I, but it's about what the Lord wants. So that's number one, the self-interest. That can hinder us from being involved. These people of Israel, they see that and they're thinking of what they want physically. But look at verse number 6. There in Numbers 32, Moses said to the children of Israel, or the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? And therefore discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them. Now, try to think about Moses. And if you read, I believe it's in Numbers 27, but Moses has already been told by God, you are not going into the promised land. It's not going to happen. And don't ask me any more about it. We'll actually read about that when Moses is retelling it in Deuteronomy. But Moses is not going to be going into this land. But when you read what Moses is doing, Moses is looking out for the rest of the people of Israel. He's not thinking about himself because he's at the end of his life. He's going to die. He's already been told Joshua is going to lead them into the land. And I think of that as a great example how Moses was considerate and thinking of the people of Israel. And his question there in verse 6, shall you go to war and shall your brethren sit here? And I think of this, what he's wanting them to do is the second point, something that can help us to be active duty or be involved is to do self-examination. Moses is wanting them to look at themselves and what they're thinking, what they're saying, how that could affect the other people. Going to war and you sit here. I think about this in at least one way. The congregation here helps us in going to war out in the Pacific by supplying the things that we need financially to be able to go out and preach the gospel in the Pacific. And that's an encouragement to us. So Moses here is thinking about them. Think about this. When we think about self-examination, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul says there, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. And when I think about that, I think of all of us, that personal responsibility that we have to continuously look at, examine ourselves, that we are doing what God would want us to do. And we know that we can always grow. We know that we can always do better. It's like Paul when he talked to the Galatians in Galatians 4:19, he wanted Christ to be formed in them. For us to have the mind of Christ, to imitate Christ, like Paul did. And so we always try to be looking at ourselves. I noticed on the PowerPoint before worship started, there was one verse basically saying, are you living the right way or are you living the way of the world? From Titus chapter 2, verse 12, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, godly. We always have to be examining ourselves. And that's what Moses wants them to do, is look at themselves. When you read what's going on here, it doesn't appear that these 2.5 tribes had actually thought about how their action would affect other people. Because if you go down to verse number 16, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment. Verse number 16, it appears that they went away after Moses talks to them. They make a plan and they come back to Moses because it says, and they came near to him. And then we're going to talk about that part. So it appears they hadn't considered it, how their action would affect their brethren. And you know, that might be true with us. We might not think about how our action can affect someone else. It's like if you're driving out yesterday when Kathy and I were coming up on the interstate, you're out on the road and you see down the interstate there's a lot of cars and you start seeing those brake lights. Well, as that starts slowing down, well, it just works its right way right back to you. The actions of others affect others. Because we can't live just to ourselves or die to ourselves, Romans chapter 14. But our actions affect other people. If you ever maybe laid some tile or laid hardwood floor or something like that, ceramic tile. And if you don't have it straight, you get that first run off. Well, guess what? All the rest of it's going to be off. One action affects another. And that's what Moses is wanting these people to think about. How's your actions going to affect others? And we see that even in verse number 8. He wants to remind them. He says, this is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea. And he's going back to the 12 spies that went to spy out the land originally. And we know what happened. The 10 came back and said, we can't do it. And how their action affected all the nation of Israel that where they had to wander in the wilderness. And Moses is wanting them to think about that, to be reminded of that. And we have to think about how our actions affect others. It might be, one example is not coming to Bible class or worship. And then other people see that you're not here. And then that action could discourage other people. I know whenever I'm at Forest Park, and knowing Forest Park, coming to places like this, you can know that I'm not singling you out because I don't know if you're normally here or you're not here. But when I go to Forest Park and I know those people that should be there, could be there, but they just choose not to be there, that discourages me. And I think about, again, that idea, our actions affect others. And a way that we can encourage others would be one way in our attendance, in attending Bible class, attending worship. That's a way that we could look at ourselves, examine ourselves. Am I attending? Am I active duty in my attendance? Am I faithful in my attendance? I know that you're here this morning and you love the Lord to be here this morning, to want to worship Him and to hear His Word. But again, keep making the examination. Is there more that I could be or should be doing to show my love for the Lord? And again, trying to think of other people. When I think of the worship, I think of Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Where there the writer is talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that encouragement to attend. When you think about that, he is writing this letter, and in this place he's writing to encourage them to be faithful in their attendance. And why is he writing them to be faithful in their attendance? Because if they attend, then that will encourage others. So he's encouraging them to attend so that their attendance can encourage others. And really that makes sense. In that verse before, we usually don't think about verse number 24, but he begins at verse 24, let us consider one another. And that's what Moses is wanting these people to do here. Don't think about what you have right here, but think about other people. Because life is, Christianity is about others. That's what Jesus, He was interested in serving, not being served. And that word, or that phrase, let us consider, there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, when you look that up in the Greek, the tense there in the Greek is present tense, which means it is continuous action. In other words, we are to keep on considering one another, not me, but I consider other people. He says there to provoke unto love and to good works. It isn't a one-time thing, but it is a continuous present tense action that goes on and on. And that would be in everything that we do. That would be every Sunday morning for Bible class, Sunday morning for worship, Sunday evening for worship, Wednesday night for Bible class, is considering those things, considering others, to provoke others, to encourage others. I was doing some studies for some lessons in Pohnpei in the Federated States of Micronesia earlier this year. And I was reading in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, where God told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac. And it says, when you read there in Genesis 22, 1 through 5, that Abraham gets up early in the morning, gets everything together, and they set out on their journey. And then 3 days later, he lifts up his eyes and he sees Moriah. And God was going to show him the mountain that he wanted to go, where he wanted Abraham to go to sacrifice Isaac, his son. Think about that. 3 days. Abraham journeyed 3 days to worship God. And what was he going to have to do when he went to worship God? God said, you take your son, your only son, and you offer him as a sacrifice. Wow, that's pretty demanding, God. But Abraham was willing to do what God said in worship, and he was willing to go however far he needed to go to do what God told him to do in worship. And I think about that as an example for us. And when I was studying that lesson, I was thinking how easy it is for us to come to worship. Because if it's hot, we can get in our car, we can turn on the air conditioning, we can put it in gear, hit the gas, and we can drive to worship. And we can come and we can sit on nice padded pews and we can have air conditioning. Or if it's cold in our car, we can turn on the heater and we can come into a building that has the heat. And when we come to worship, it isn't to offer our children, our son as a sacrifice, but it is to honor and to glorify God. It's really very easy for us when I think about worship. And again, thinking of that self-examination, am I active, that active duty in my worship so that I can encourage others, be the right example to others, help others? That might be something that you need to change as you look at your life, examine yourself. Say, yes, that's something I can do. I can do better and I can think of others and try to help others in that way. I guarantee if you do that, you will be strengthened. When we do what's right, it just makes us feel good. Whenever we're not doing what is right or half-heartedly serving the Lord, it makes us kind of miserable. But when we serve the Lord, then we can have that confidence, that assurance. I think about, this is something, I don't know where it came from, author unknown, but just something for us to think about as we examine ourselves, think about priorities, being active, what's important. Listen to this, just a little poem type writing. It says, I'm always prompt to punch the clock. I never miss a date. But when I go to worship God, I'm usually always late. I wouldn't think of leaving work to visit Brother Fred. I'll just wait till Sunday comes and forsake the church instead. I never miss a day at work. Perfection's what I seek. But I miss the worship of my God once or twice a week. I talk with people daily of many subjects rife, but I never mention Jesus nor show Him in my life. I spend extra on my family for things I can't afford, but I don't remember ever giving extra to the Lord. When your life on earth is over and they lay you down to rest, how can He say to you, well done, if you've made Him second best? Now, there's a lot of good things in there to think about. We think about examining ourselves, looking at ourselves. Again, something that we see that we always should do. And when you see here in Numbers chapter 32, you come down to verse number 14 and 15, Moses is trying to help them think back to what your fathers did, how it affected the people of Israel. Only Joshua and Caleb were saved. And you see that verses 6 down through verse number 14. And look at verse number 15. He says, for if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness. And you shall destroy all this people. Again, he's wanting them to think about what you do. Think about how it's going to affect the people of Israel. And again, it's that self-examination we have to do is to think about what we do and how that affects someone else. We may see that in families where a family is not faithful in their attendance, not very strong spiritually. And that's the example that their children see. And then the children follow the same thing. Are the same way. And how that action affects someone else. Maybe a parent. I love my dad. He's already passed away. Taught me a lot of great things. And one of the things I remember about my dad is that he smoked. But I remember one time that my sister, when she was a little girl, she was out. Dad would always thump the cigarette butts out in the front yard. So she was out there one day and she had one of those in her mouth like she was smoking. And my dad saw her And my dad said, I better not ever see you doing that again. Really? If you're smoking and then you're going to tell her not to? Again, it's the self-examination. How does my action affect someone else? And I have to look at that. Think about those things. So we have that self-interest, and Moses says, okay, think about what you're doing, how it's going to affect them. And then let's go to verse number 16, which will bring our third point. What happens whenever we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves, and we're willing to make a change? In verse number 16 it says, and they came near to him, which again I said appears that they went off, thought about what Moses said, came up with the plan. They come back to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Verse number 18, we will not return to our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. Wow, what a statement. This makes me think of the third thing here, part of being active and involved. It takes self-sacrifice. What hinders us from being involved? Self-interest. What can help us to be involved? Examine ourselves. And then what's going to happen if we make those changes? We'll be willing to sacrifice. You think about these men. They said, we're going to leave our homes, we're going to leave our family, leave our children, our wives, and we're going to go with the people of Israel, and we will not return until they have received their inheritance. That's commitment. And I think about for us as Christians, when we become Christians, yes, we make a commitment to the Lord. That is to be faithful to the Lord. As I mentioned, we're in a battle spiritually. The Bible talks about that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And He lists that spiritual armor for that spiritual battle. And then also what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 and 4. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him and enlisted him as a soldier. And that idea, spiritually, yes, we're in that battle. And these people were in that battle. They were willing to make those sacrifices. And we learn in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, Paul said in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And that parallel for us spiritually, where we can see what the people of Israel did, they're willing to make that sacrifice. They're going to go to battle, to war. They're not going to go back home. And how we can also follow that example spiritually, that we're going to be in the battle. We're going to be active duty. We're not going to be reserve duty. We're not going to be weekend warrior, but it's going to be our life to live the right way, to try to spread the gospel, where we're going to serve and we're going to be faithful in our worship and Bible class. We're going to do those things that the Bible teaches us to do. And as I look at this, if you look at verse 17 and 18, they said, we will go armed, ready, armed. Verse 18, we will not return until they have received every man his inheritance. I think about that in a spiritual way. And again, it's, they were thinking of how they could help their brethren. And for us to think about that in the way, how can we help others? They were wanting them to receive that inheritance that God had promised. Now, how can that apply for us? For us to be the same way spiritually, where, okay, yes, I may have salvation, I know the truth, I've obeyed the gospel, but I have to think about how can I help other people receive that inheritance? Receive that promised land spiritually, heaven. And going and trying to help them, like the people of Israel were, trying to help those receive that physical land, then we can go and we can teach others and try to help them to receive that spiritual inheritance. And again, it isn't just about me or what I have, but trying to think about others and what they need and how I can help them. And these people, they did. They made this decision. They were willing to pay that price. They were willing to make that sacrifice. They did the self-examination. And they came back to Moses. Now, a good question would be for us, did they follow through with it? I think of us for a Christian. We can become Christians. We can start the Christian race. But we have to finish it. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Like Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Paul saw it through all the way to the end. Be faithful to death. Those scriptures that show us we must follow it all the way through. If you hold your place here, Numbers 32, go over to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, if you look at what happens, Moses has died. Now Joshua is about to lead the people of Israel into the land. And beginning in verse number 12 of Joshua 1, the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua talks to them. And he says, verse 13, remember what Moses said? And he talks to them about that. Now look at verse 16. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we'll go. Verse 17, according as we listen to Moses in all things, so we will listen unto you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as He was with Moses. Now listen to verse 18. Whosoever he be that does rebel against your commandment and will not listen to your words and all that you command him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. When they made that commitment to say, yes, we'll go with them, they were serious. And they remind Joshua, yes, we'll go. We'll see it all the way through to the end. Now go to there in Joshua. Go to chapter 22. And really, it's the end of chapter 21 that goes into to the beginning of chapter 22. In chapter 21, verse 43 down to 45, the end of the chapter, God gave them the land that He swore to give to their fathers. So they received that promise, going all the way back to Abraham. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. Joshua calls together the Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh. Listen to this, verse number 2. He said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days into this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And then he tells them to go back home. Men of integrity. Men that did what they said they would do. And as us as Christians, that's the way we're supposed to be. We're to follow it through all the way to the end. If we can be like these people and what God tells us, yes, all that God's commanded we have done. That's a great statement for us as Christians, to be active, involved in that way. As we think about what is it that we can do, well, it could be taking someone to the doctor that has a doctor's visit. Might be a widow that needs her yard cleaned up, maybe the gutters cleaned out. Might be taking food to someone that is sick. Many things that we think about. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 35 and 36. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked. You clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And those are good works that we can do. When we think about being active duty, those are some things that we can do. I've heard of there in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus says those two times, well done, good and faithful servant, to the five talent man, the two talent man. I read this saying, well done is better than well said. And we want to do what the Lord says. And think about it, we follow it all the way through to the end. We're active, we're involved, serving the Lord. Then there's going to be that reward that is waiting for us. And also helping others where they can receive that eternal inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, that is, undefiled, incorruptible, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what we want, and that's what we want for other people. But the way that will happen is for us to look at ourselves, make that self-examination. Am I interested in the things that I want, or am I taking that time to serve the Lord? And for us to think of that ourselves. It might be, as you look at yourself, that you heard the gospel. Neil mentioned in the prayer that those maybe this morning that are here that have not obeyed the gospel, that you would make that decision today. And I think of these things really is what you need to look at if you think about obeying the gospel. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, it may be because of living for yourself. And you realize that you've been looking at God's Word, you've studied God's Word, maybe somebody is studying with you. And you see that self-examination, and you're willing to make the sacrifice. You're willing, because you believe in the Lord Jesus, you've heard the truth, you're willing to turn from your sin, confess Christ as the Son of God, you're willing to be baptized, immersed in those waters to put Christ on in baptism, then you have an opportunity today to do that. And you can be active duty. Until you do that, you're not going to be in the Lord's army. You're not going to be able to serve the Lord. But if you do that, then you can begin, and as we've been talking about, then be active, see it through all the way to the end. Maybe as a Christian, as we've looked at these things, and you look at your life, you make that examination, and you realize, you know, I haven't thought of other people. I've really just been thinking of me. And the things we've talked about, you realize that those things that are missing, things that are wrong, things that you're not doing that you should, and you want to make that correction today. We know as a Christian, we can come to God, repent and pray. Acts chapter 8, what Peter told Simon, repent and pray, God will forgive us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you may need to do that this morning. But if you need to, please come to the